לא קשור לזמן כאן.
אני חושב שכן. אני מבזבז זמן.
I think the big question that bothers me is like this. We have two psukim. The first one is discussing business transactions. When I'm buying something, or I'm a seller, I'm selling something. Torah says, Al tonu ish et achiv. I can't tonu. We have to figure out what the word tonu means, but according to many, it means hurt. We'll have to define what it means. I can't hurt the other person. What does it mean hurting him in business? I can't price gouge. I'm not allowed to charge you more than a shtut, 16% above market value. That's the law. Or if I'm buying something, I know an object is worth thousands of dollars as a buyer, but you, the seller, are clueless. I can't go and buy it. So we're discussing basically cheating somebody in business. Right? You're cheating somebody in business. Law number one, no cheat somebody in business. That's ona'at Mamon. Now when it comes to the next thing, now we have ona'at devarim. Ona'at of what? Of words.
Is the first one not gzela? Why is it not isur? Why does it need a specific verse teach us don't cheat someone in business? Why is it not called stealing?
Because I agreed to pay what for that object. Yeah. Oh, okay. You're selling me for X, I'm charging you X, and you agreed to pay X. So it's not outright stealing. But I'm cheating you in a sense. Right? It's cheating. But then we have the second case. You have onat devarim. Hurting you with words. So we found six cases of hurting you with words. But when I'm hurting somebody, I mean, I'm causing you pain, I'm embarrassing you. Why is the same word used to describe both? One is cheating in business, and one is hurting you. Why are they both ona'a? I would argue that completely two different concepts. One's cheating in business, and one is words. Yet the Torah puts them together and says they're both ona'ah, just one with money, one with your mouth. What's the connection between the two of them? More. Yes, Lach?
There is a word in Hebrew, damim tartei mashma. Damim tartei mashma is dam money and dam your body. So when you hurt somebody, you hurt him the mamon and you hurt his heart. Dignity.
Okay. Good. So let's review the... So good. I think you're all on the right track. Let's review the cases. We had six cases here. Case number one was walking into a store with zero intention to buy. You don't have a dime to your name. You have no money. Oh, how much is this? And how much is that? How much is that? What are you doing? You're wasting the guy's time. And you're also giving him false hope. You think he's going to buy. And you're not going to buy anything. What's case number two? What was case number two? About Shuvah. Right? A person who worked on himself changed his life. And you go to him and say, I remember you. You're the guy who used to do this and that. What are you doing to the guy when you do that? Right? You're saying you're not this great guy you walk around being here. You know, you walk around now as a respectable human being. You know, you used to be part of a gang. You were a murderer, and who knows what you did, right? You're demeaning the person. The next case, again, is the same way. Person who changed his whole life, entered the Jewish people. But you're trying to remind them, but look who your father is. Hey, you're not one of us. You're right? It's the same concept. Let's go to the fourth case. All right, a person, same thing. You ate this kind of food and said these words, and now you're going to learn Torah. Who are you? Right? It's the same thing. What's the next case? Next is a person who's suffering. Who's suffering either financially or with sickness in the family. He's going through hard times. And you go to him like Yov's buddies tell Yov, you know, you must have done something really bad. God's really mad at you. Right? That's the next case. Thank you for the words of encouragement. Appreciate it. Right? Or the Rambam adds a case. What's the case the Rambam adds? A person who doesn't know. Somebody asks me a question. Rabbi, what do you think? What should I do with this? And I turn to the guy who I know knows nothing about this subject. Right? Hey, Bill, what do you think of this? And he's like, Right? I put him on the spot. Showing he has no idea. He doesn't know the answer. I know he doesn't know the answer to that question. And I'm putting him on the spot in front of everybody. Right? Rambam says that's also ona'ah. So if you look at all these cases, what do we see? So the Chinuch says something fascinating. The Sefer HaChinuch, we didn't bring the source here. When it defines the mitzvah, he adds a few words. He says, you're hurting up somebody in a way where he can't protect himself. And he has no way to answer. It's not just hurting, which means you're taking advantage of somebody. It's not just embarrassing somebody, but really taking advantage of somebody who's vulnerable. Right? A Baal Teshuvah who, he can't answer, there's nothing he can say to you. Right? You're taking advantage of the situation, you're focusing on his weakness, his weak point, and you're exploiting his weak point, and he can't answer. You're taking advantage. Every single one of these cases, you're taking advantage of another human being who, in a sense, is defenseless in that regard. Right? He's defenseless. That's the definition of ona'ah. You know? And therefore, if you go back to Mekach HaMemkar, to selling, right? The case of sales. What am I doing to you? I'm also taking advantage of you. I know you know nothing about diamonds. So I'm going to sell you a $1,000 diamond for $5,000. So it's not just that I'm cheating you. I'm taking advantage while your vulnerability. You know nothing about diamonds and I'm holding you hostage. Right? So the underlying theme is taking advantage of somebody else who's vulnerable. You can do that with money, and you can do that with words. But the root is the same. Yeah.
Okay, so we had a very tumultuous discussion here, especially regarding Onat Mamon. And the million-dollar question was, how do we draw the line between fair business of supply and demand versus financial advantage?
Okay, good. So this
is it okay for an airport to charge $7 for water because they're in an airport? Or are they taking advantage because you can't get water anywhere else? How do we draw the line?
So, good. So that really our sugya is words. We have there's another sugya of an Onat Mamon. That's a whole other sugya. Maybe we'll cover it also. If there's interest, we'll cover that sugya too. But this is an advarim. But the basic principle is we go by market value.
Market value.
Right. And what defines market value? Supply and demand. That's what defines market value. So it could be in Texas something will be worth X, and in New York something else, and in the airport something else. Because supply and demand defines market value. But if market value of a Coke in the airport is $7, and I charge you 12, that's ona'ah. Right? So market value defines what ona'ah is. And also as a buyer, don't think it's just a seller. I know something is, I'm an expert at antiques. And you know nothing. You have something you got from your great-grandmother and you're selling it, you want to unload the house. And something which I know is worth thousands and you're selling it for $100. I am obligated to tell you, hey, that object is worth thousands of dollars. I can't just buy it and cheat you because I'm taking advantage of your lack of knowledge.
That's why it says,
whether you're selling an object to a fellow Jew, or you're buying an object from a fellow Jew. As a buyer, I can't take advantage of you either. Right? Mitzvah goes both ways. Mitzvah goes both ways. Many things. I know nothing about cars. I don't know what a car is worth. I don't know the status of the engine, the transmissions, and like that. You're selling me a car, the transmission's bad, the engine's going to fall apart in 6 months, and it's leaking oil, and I know nothing about that. I go walking to buy a car. It's beautiful on the outside. It looks gorgeous. You charge me $10,000, and the car's worth $2,000 because it has so much work it has to do. That's ona'ah.
What? You're selling a car which is really valuable.
Right.
And I'm buying it.
It doesn't work with all objects, but you can find any case with it, with many things. I don't know the market value of diamonds. I don't know the market value of most things. I don't know the market value.
It's applied to mention.
But you need an expert that knows. You know, people who are in the business know the market value.
If the guy is selling something on his own, he doesn't know the worth of it. He doesn't know the value of it. Instead of $100, it's worth $1,000. He comes to you. He says, "I want $100." What is your obligation?
As a Jew, you're obligated to let him know that this is worth thousands. Don't sell it for $100. What?
If you're not a professional.
What do you mean?
If you're just a plain person.
Whether I'm professional, whether I'm a plain person, I'm obligated to tell him. And the guy says, I know, but I want to sell it anyway. It's fine. But you're obligated to let him know. what it's worth.
If you don't know,
what if you don't know?
If I don't know, I don't know. You can't blame me for something I don't know.
And if you know later on,
what?
Somebody has told you.
Like, so that, okay, we're getting into sugya mekach hamemka. That's not our sugya.
Yeah. השאלה מה השאלה, אם בפיזי, אם מבחינתו, אם לא אומרים לו, הוא מבחינתו עכשיו יוצא בהקשב.
Doesn't matter, he's still taking advantage.
אבל הוא חי שהוא ברווח.
But don't worry, six, זה... what happens 6 months from now later he remembers?
הוא טוב לו.
What happens 6 months from now he remembers?
הוא לא יודע שהוא הפסיד.
Yeah?
הוא לא יודע, הוא חי עם זה.
אגב, it's an interesting case, you know. So we have the classic case of the donkeys. These guys is a group of people passing through the city, and they want to buy wheat. And you say, oh, well, it's a good time to have a good time here. He said to them, you know, over there, Mark, over there, sells wheat. They show up on Mark's door, they knock on the door. Mark, we came to buy some, you know, we came to buy some food. He says, I'm not a Markolet, I don't have this thing, right? I sell electric tools, what do you want from me, right? So what did I just do? I played a practical joke on this guy. Basically, I played a practical joke on him. I'm playing a game with him. So it's interesting, the Machlokes Rishonim, who I embarrassed. Some say, actually, I embarrassed Mark in this case, because people walk in to buy something and he's like, I don't have that. And he feels stupid. Or you're embarrassing the guy who's going to buy it, he also feels stupid. Right? In both cases. So sometimes it's both, sometimes it's either one. But what happens in a case where I embarrass somebody and he doesn't even know it? Right? You have a guy that thinks he knows everything. Thinks he knows everything, has the answer to every question in the world, right? So you ask him a question which he knows, you know he knows nothing about. Everybody around you knows he knows nothing about it. So you go over to him, hey, what do you think of, I don't know, give me an example.
Stocks.
What do you think of this stock? And he's ranting and raving about the stocks and this and that and this. And everybody's laughing inside. He feels like $1 million, actually. Because you paid attention to him, you asked him for his advice. And he got to give you his advice, right? You got to talk for 20 minutes and let everybody listen, right? You made his life, you made his day. But everybody else around him is laughing their heads off inside. Was that or not?
Yeah.
No.
You put him, okay.
You need to say,
no. It's embarrassment.
It's not.
But he's not embarrassed.
He's happy.
But again,
you put him in a title of a certain. It's something that will remember for later on.
Yeah.
And that's what he do. You heard him, now he don't, but for the future for sure.
Okay.
Somebody's going to bring it up to him in some point.
Yeah.
Change. He's not appearance, but he's the way other people
look at him.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh,
right. Okay. So you're saying a very good point. The question is if that's called onah.
The guy who did it.
So onah seems to come from the place of taking advantage of somebody, and a person being hurt by it directly. Could be this case is not really onah. It's clearly lashon hara. Because lashon hara is lashaped b'gnut chavero. And everybody else is going to look at this guy as a fool from now on. So it's clearly lashon hara. I'm not so clear this is onah.
But why is it lashon hara if they didn't speak about it?
Oh, so you come back in 2 weeks and we'll learn the sugya of lashon hara. You'll have a different understanding of what lashon hara is. So lashon hara is all another sugya. But b'gnut chavero is lashon hara. So to show the gnut, to get other people to think bad about somebody is lashon hara. Yeah? Yeah.
I know about Laro. They says people, religious, I mean, people who Yirat Shamayim, they don't buy any Laro or something. So the guy who bought it, if he knows he's never going to make it, he regrets that he paid money for it. That's considered part of either Ona or Gezela. What about the stock
market? That's good. That's Machta. That's Gezel.
That people who put money in the stock market, if they knew that stock would go down, they would never put the money. So if you play with it, and you make money out of it. Is that considered the same idea of...
So, it's a whole... You're getting into a whole sugya of asmachta. You're getting a sugya of gambling in Jewish law, and that sugya of asmachta. That's all part of gambling in Jewish law. It's part of asmachta. And that's another sugya. But Agal, Chavadiyah holds, a person who knows nothing about stocks is not allowed to invest in them. Because he holds it's gambling. Chavadiyah has a tshuva about it. He says exactly like you. If you don't know, it's gambling. But we'll deal with that. We'll deal with it a different time. That's not our sugya. Okay, so let's recap over here. So So how do we define ona? At the end of the day, what's ona? Taking advantage of somebody else in a way that you're going to hurt him. Right? You can do that with money. You can do that with words. But in a way that you leave him, you embarrass him, you leave him in a place where he's defenseless. He can't stand up for himself. He can't protect himself. And you're exploiting his weaknesses. That's ona. You know, I had a little kid, what was it? I think my daughter, a few years ago, came back, came home from school, and this boy called her a name, called her a banana. Right? She comes home crying that they called her a banana. Right? So you come home, obviously a little kid, you got to sit and put your shoulder over them, and I'm so sorry, it's so terrible, they shouldn't call you a banana, you're not really a banana, you're a great girl. Right? That they know, you know. But that's a kid, a little child. If you're an adult, and somebody calls you a banana, are you going to get insulted? Most people are not going to get insulted by because you're a banana. Because I know I'm not a banana. It's not a question. Right? By ona'a, why do you get it? Why does somebody get hurt or insulted? There's two reasons. Right? It's either in a situation. Why does somebody get hurt or insulted? So it's either in a situation where you found his weak spot. You found a flaw in his character. You found, and you're exploiting that. That hurts. Or sometimes you said something about him which is not true, but others will perceive it to be true. Right? That's why he's upset. Even though there's no truth to it whatsoever. I know that's not me. But people around me don't know that's not me. They're going to think I did that. So again, I'm exploiting the circumstances to belittle me. So those are the cases of ona'a. It's gam lashonara. That's gam lashonara. That's for sure lashonara, right? But person gets upset because you found a weakness. About the case of Baal Teshuva, again, that's a weakness. Even though it's not a weakness, right? In the eyes of Hashem, that's a great thing. Makom Shabbat Teshuva Omdim, and right? Nobody else can stand there. Where Gerim stood, nobody else can stand. But in the eyes of the world, unfortunately, it's a weakness sometimes. So you're exploiting that to show, take advantage of them. But that's the definition of ona'a. So a person has to be careful. You know, the question I asked when it began, you're a teacher in class. And one of the tools the teacher does to get kids to pay attention is to call on a kid who specifically doesn't know the answer. Right? You go, you see this kid spacing out. So tell me, Reuven, tell me. So what's the answer to the question? You know what? That is ona'a. You just were over the yisur ona'a. Doesn't matter that it's a child. Doesn't matter that you're using it as an educational tool. It's ona'a, because it's the wrong educational tool. Instead of building the child, you're breaking him down. That's ona'a. It's ona'a in the day-to-day life. That's ona'a. Yeah.
I have a question. If you know that another person is doing wrong to someone that you know, what is your obligation?
Can you repeat the question?
If you're doing something wrong...
If you know that someone is doing wrong to another person and you know it's wrong, what is your obligation?
You need more specific sometimes. Sometimes when you get involved, you can make things worse. Yes. But if you can get involved to make things better, then you're obligated to get involved. But you have to make sure you can make things better. You're not making them worse. That's the general rule. Specific cases are, each one is different. But if you can get involved and make things better, you have an obligation.
So it's something that somebody has to gamble with, because they may not know what is the right thing to do.
So then you need to either think it through and analyze it, or ask Shelat Chacham, you know, in that situation. People who are expert in these kind of things, who can kind of figure out, or a person who knows that person better, knows how he's going to react to something like that. You got to figure it out. Because you don't want to make things worse either. So you have to always have to be careful when you get involved.
Okay.
But you're obligated to get involved. You're obligated to help when you can, but make sure you're helping and not making things worse. That's really the...
Question. I asked you this. When we do a